Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
So the, and I say this with all due respect, the Beetle Brains who run the New York Giants football operation, they have finally, we believe this to be true, although I will believe it when I see the other guy run out of the tunnel as the starting quarterback this weekend, but that Elijah Manning has been sent into the principal's office. He's been put in timeout. He's in the penalty box, whatever way you want to describe. Now, I assume you saw this. I assume you saw this by now. It happened early in the day yesterday. It's our first crack in the batter's box here. But if you missed the details, the Giants officially announcing that rookie Daniel Jones, keeping up with the Joneses, Danny Dimes, is now the week three starter in Tampa. Now, we don't know if Jones is any good or not. He certainly looked like a prodigy against backups in the preseason. And it was amazing. 85% completion percentage and just looked great. But unfortunately for him, no more vanilla ice cream. He's now going to get served Rocky Road ice cream. Yeah. And the Giants, who are a bad team to start with, are going to be without, likely, Sterling Shepard. He's got a concussion. And Golden Tate, he's out. He's suspended. So those guys will be out in his first start. But the better story is in the losing locker room. So let us discuss the question which was made for this format. The question that must be raised because it's sports talk radio, and this is how we operate in sports talk radio. Eli Manning, now booted off the island as the Giants starter, is he a Hall of Famer? And the answer, and the only acceptable answer, is no. Not at all. And I heard a lot of people that I don't think are that bright on the radio and television say that he's a Hall of Famer. He's not. I will make my case. And we've chronicled Elijah Manning. I recall when he was drafted and we ranted and raved. And for the first part of his career, up until the 2007 playoff run, we had called him the punk. And then we changed it to Elijah after that, which is his actual name. But before we get to me making my case as to why Eli Manning is not a Hall of Famer, some other observations. You've got the favored son, Da Vinci, and mustard. And we will combine these things together and we'll make a nice casserole. And now, number one, the Giant franchise is in dire straits, with or without Eli Manning. The most central problem, you say, well, it's the defense, or it's the offensive line, parts of that, or whatever. But Eli Manning is also in the arithmetic on that. He's in the equation there. He should have been booted years ago, and the facts are he hadn't been good. He has not been good. You might like the fact that he won your little championship, but he hasn't been very good. And that's just a reality there. But you have these warm, fuzzy feelings. Eli Manning is a third-tier quarterback. And the media, they're such cheerleaders for these guys, they can't even admit it. The mainstream football media, now they're like, well, Eli, maybe the Saints will trade for him if Bridgewater plays poorly this weekend. Or what about trading him across New York to the, or New Jersey to the Jets? You know, they just can't let, they can't wrap their minds around the fact this guy is puke. They can't. The guy's been puke. You know, the duck test. If it looks like a duck, sounds like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. If the quarterback looks like puke, plays like puke, guess what? Spoiler alert, he's puke. And that's what Eli Manning is.
That's my duck.
Yeah. Now, listen, Daniel Jones is far from a sure thing. He's not. And I will reserve judgment, but he does ensure something. And that he ensures that he will not be Elijah Manning. All right? Ownership's got a couple of screws loose, or at least one screw loose, when it comes to evaluating Manning. They overlook what happened recently and seem to be fixated. They have this weird neurosis about what had happened in those playoff runs, those out-of-body playoff experiences for the Giants. Those two Super Bowl runs have also cost the Giants almost a decade of substandard football. So, well, I'll trade two Super Bowl wins for a decade of mediocrity. Okay, well, you've done that. You've done that. I hope you enjoyed it. You've done that. Giants are a joke. They've been in a trance-like state, the ownership of the Giants franchise, unable to come to grips with reality here. And now there is another part to the story. The timing. And this is what's known as ahead of schedule. Now, eventually Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback. But I have a theory here that this timeline was moved up in order to pacify the favored son of the G-I-A-N-T-S suck, suck, suck the Giants. Can do that too, just like you do it with the Jets. But this was a move designed to protect legacy. Right? The Giants started the day almost a touchdown underdog in Tampa this weekend. If Eli Manning had not been removed as the starter, he would have started that game and the Giants would have walked off the field a loser. They likely will lose the game anyway. But that would have put his regular season one loss total under 500. And really no end in sight. Assuming that Daniel Jones stays healthy, Eli Manning will not start another game for the Giants. He won't. This will keep that record of Eli Manning going below 500. All right, that'll keep. He's not more on his Hall of Fame resume than the same. He's not a Hall of Famer. Now, secondly, watching the reaction of my colleagues in the football, you know, media world, and all that, and the Giants just lick bubble bath for you, and all that. The way this was all played out, and you know, they finally take Eli off life support, and I was thinking of one person in particular. And that would be, we got to come up with a new nickname for this guy. He is the Da Vinci of football, the Leonardo da Vinci of football. That would be Ben McAdoo. Now, when I was in school, and I was a very bad student, but I remember a few random things when I occasionally paid attention the one day a week that I would pay attention. And I recall in some class I had, the teacher was telling this wild story about Leonardo da Vinci and how amazing, how ahead of his time he was and all that stuff. Well, that's Ben McAdoo. He's exiled from coaching in the NFL. The Giants coach at the time knew several years ago what finally the Giants have figured out, that Eli Manning needed to be treated like Sam Darnold and put in quarantine. And McAdoo paid the ultimate price for his career. The Giants sent him to the guillotine. And really, his fatal mistake was he had no clear line of succession. He was so eager to get rid of Eli Manning that he put Geno Smith in. And there's a guy that should be working at a pizza shop in Queens rather than playing quarterback in the NFL. But McAdoo and Da Vinci, not only did he paint the Mona Lisa, all right, that's his claim to fame, but one of the great inventors, one of the great minds in the history of the recorded world here. Guy was an artist, a scientist, an architect, an engineer, an inventor. And I remember the things that he is said to have invented: the parachute, the helicopter, the armored car, revolving bridges, scuba gear, all things that Da Vinci is credited with either inventing all by himself or inspiring through his drawings. He didn't do it, but then, you know, many 500 years after he died, things that he had cooked up were eventually seeing the light of day. It's just an amazing story. Now, Ben McAdoo, I don't know that 500 years from now anyone's going to look back at his resume and say, okay, there he is. Now put him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But speaking of the Hall of Fame, all right, and we're going to get to that. The final point, though, I do not feel bad for Eli Manning. I don't. It seems like a lot of people have empathy for Eli Manning, and they're doing the woe is me thing. There's no woe is me. He has been given so many pardons. You know how every year at the White House they have the presidential turkey around Thanksgiving, and it's traditional where the president will give a pardon to the turkey? Well, Eli Manning is the turkey at the White House year after year getting the pardon. Finally, they decided, let's have some turkey. I'd like some stuffing and some turkey. Let's cook the bird. And so he's going to make almost $24 million this year. That's what's known as a golden parachute. That's what that is, holding a clipboard, wearing a hat. And as for the question that we started with, we must get to the Komodo dragon. Boom. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? This is a good acid test because it shows where you are, how closely you pay attention to things. Because we know that the low-information fan, their argument is, hey, he won two Super Bowls. He's a Hall of Famer. Suck rocks, Maller. That's their argument. Of course, these people are meatheads, all right? And I disagree. If I was on the Hall of Fame committee, the way Eli Manning would get into Canton, Ohio, is by reserving a ticket at will call. And then I might even let him in for free, but I'm not going to put his little bust in the Hall of Fame. It's not going to happen. Sorry. I'll be the grown-up here. You can all be the fanboys and have a good time there. Eli Manning did not pass the mustard test, if you will, to be enshrined in Canton, Ohio. You got to look at the full body of work. Championships are the last criteria to get into Hall of Fames. It's a team award. It's not an individual honor. People get confused by that. I understand. People are dumb. I'm trying to help you out. But, again, the lazy simpleton argument is always, well, he won two Super Bowls. But this is a massive oversimplification. And I will play devil's advocate and give you the counter argument, which is the right argument, the right side of history, as to why Elijah Manning is not a Hall of Fame quarterback. Now, we start out with the fact that he was a 500 quarterback. And as I learned from Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. Do you realize the Giants franchise has a huge all-time winning percentage, games over 500, except when Eli Manning played quarterback, they were 500. Do you understand that? Like, anybody else that played quarterback collectively for the Giants, the group had a winning record except Eli Manning, who has a 500 record. And then I think most of us look at the Hall of Fame and say, boy, you must be dominant. At no point in this entire run was Eli Manning one of the top three quarterbacks. At no point was he one of the top five quarterbacks. At no point was Eli Manning one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, he stuck around for a long time, but he was never that good at all. You know what he led the NFL in? The only category of note that he led the NFL in? He did it three times, I believe. Interceptions. That's it. That's the list. Interceptions. Nothing else at all. And so if you're making the counter argument here, there's a couple of flukes in the playoffs. They don't make you a Hall of Famer. And if you want to play that game, see, that's a double-edged sword here because appearances can be deceiving. The argument cuts both ways. Eli Manning has been bipolar in the postseason. Everyone remembers the two Cinderella Super Bowl runs in 07 and 2011 to cap off those years. And you conveniently overlook the other four times that Eli Manning was in the playoffs, right? In the years the Giants won the Super Bowl, clearly Eli Manning was a force multiplier in the postseason. In those Super Bowl runs, he was 8-0 with 15 touchdowns, two interceptions, a quarterback rating of 100. But that is the exception to the rule. In his other four playoff appearances, Eli Manning has not one, not two, not three, but 4 1-and-dones. 4 1-and-dones, not a Hall of Famer. 4 1-and-dones, not a Hall of Famer. All right? And he was directly responsible for the dreck that the Giants put on the field in those other four playoffs. So if you're going to judge him by his full body of work, regular season, postseason, you can't just stop at the two Super Bowls. You got to look at the full body of work. In those other four playoff appearances, averaged barely 6 yards an attempt, had three touchdowns, seven interceptions. And you know his overall playoff quarterback rating is 87. In those other four games, it was at 57. 57.2 quarterback rating, four of the six playoff appearances for Eli Manning. Guy's not a Hall of Famer. I'll be the grown-up. And please, listen, that's the fact, all right? Now, I know there's a lot of bleeding hearts out there. Why, rah, rah, that's our guy. We love him. Okay, I'm not that type of person. I got no love for Elijah Manning. I'm a realist, all right? And using critical thinking, I just laid out my argument. I made my elevator pitch.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The beat goes on. Same song, record, playing over and over. It's like top 40 radio. Just over and over and over and over again. There's only a couple of songs here, and they're all about quarterbacks. Two more quarterback changes, it would appear, in the NFL. Now, we told you earlier, go back and hear the podcast, a compelling, passionate, and factually based argument about Eli Manning, who's out with the Giants, benched in favor of Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones. That's the sarcastic nickname that he got. If you don't know the backstory on that, the Giants sent out tape of Daniel Jones completing passes against air, just basic passes, and he picked up the nickname Danny Dimes because it was so ridiculous the Giants were trying to hype him up. Anyway, enough about him. So Cam Newton is like a boxer up against the ropes right now in Carolina. Now, he didn't play well last Thursday. Remember that game last Thursday? Bucks, Panthers, another stinkeroo. In the NFL, but if you've not been following along, because you're not a Carolina Panther fan, we're on the radio in Charlotte right now. Shout out our homeboys in Charlotte. But here's the deal. All right, so Cam Newton's status for this weekend's game, the Carolina Panthers play the Arizona Cardinals. It is listed as uncertain. This after the one-time controversial MVP is said to have re-aggravated a mild foot sprain, a mid to mild foot sprain there, and we are told that Cam Newton did not practice on Tuesday, and Ron Rivera giving no timetable for his quarterback's possible return, saying that he's going to get his treatment, we'll see how he feels, blah, 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 and that's how we're going to go through it. So what does that mean for Carolina? That means, and Rivera addressed this, that Kyle Allen is in the on-deck circle.
I think Kyle's more than ready. I think Kyle did some really good things last year, showed us what he's capable of. He had a good preseason, had a whole bunch of ups, had a few downs, but for the most part, he knows the offense. He knows it very well. We really do. We feel very comfortable. We do go back to what he did briefly in the Atlanta game and then what he did in the New Orleans game. I think Kyle's more.
Yeah, all right. Oh, it just keeps repeating over and over again. All right. Anyway, so listen, Ron Rivera, as you heard in that sound, but that's what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to be the positive influence and everything's going to be okay. The sky is not falling while there's bombs dropping. It's the Baghdad Bob that all coaches usually have, other than Bill Belichick, but most other coaches have that in their DNA. That's how they operate. And in the worst case scenario, it's not that bad. Everything's going to be fine, blah, 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 blah. But Rivera, as you heard in that soundbite, and if you didn't hear it because kind of the audio wasn't the greatest there, the Panthers will have to circle the wagons essentially, and they've got four of their next five games on the road. But the story here is all about Cam Newton. Are we getting the entire story of what's really going on here, or is there something more nefarious involving Cam Newton? I believe there is something more nefarious. Now, my view on this. You've got Dr. Oz, Blockbuster, and Demarcation. And we will combine those three things and some other things as well. But first of all, I would like to take a bow. Am I allowed to take a bow? My instincts were correct. We did a Maller monologue. If you flash back, go back to podcast is available. When Cam Newton left that exhibition game in Foxborough and was wearing a walking boot, we did classical Sky is Falling radio. Now, I remember one person in particular that reached out, one of my many critics, on the email, which I'm fine with. I don't mind that. I get a kick out of it, especially when things like this happen. So one P1 in particular was razzing me, one of our listeners in Charlotte. And, you know, the typical, hey, you're a hater. You never played the game. You're a shock jock. You know, paraphrasing a lot of this. But you're making a mountain out of a molehill, that kind of thing. So that's the kind of message the guy sent, and when in reality, I was simply blabbing reality. You live in fantasy land. I live in Realityville. Now, not easy being a distant relative of the great Nostradamus. Job ain't that easy. But what I really did was, forget Nostradamus, I did a hell of a Dr. Oz impersonation. I examined Cam Newton's injury. And I determined this is going to linger into the regular season. I learned when I was a kid. I watched Hawkeye Pierce on television. I learned when I was a kid. That's how that works. Doogie Howser, MD, all those shows, TV doctors. Learned from them all. and that scrubs and all that. So listen, Cam Newton, you knew this was gonna be in the background and likely back in the foreground before too long. Carolina downplayed it. They said it was nothing major, no big deal, nothing to see here, move on. And now the truth has seen the light of day. Cam Newton hobbled yet again. Now, the Panthers' season is at a crossroads, and it sounds like Kyle Allen is going to have to play the role of Messiah for Carolina. Undrafted out of Texas A&M, he also went to Houston, went to two colleges, and he did play well, but he only played one start. He made one start last year for Carolina, and the numbers were not terrible in that game. But the book on Kyle Allen at the time of the draft, and he was undrafted, but at the time of the draft, the reason he was undrafted, they said the guy's got a $1 million arm but a 10-cent head. You know, one of those low football IQ guys and all. That was the argument. Now, maybe that's wrong. We haven't seen enough of Kyle Allen, and we hope to not see enough of Kyle Allen to form a different opinion. But this is kind of a cool story for him because he's from the Phoenix area. I think he's from Scottsdale, and he went to high school in the Valley of the Sun, and now that game is in Phoenix or in Glendale, Arizona. So he gets to go back and have all his friends there and all, whatnot watching him, checking him out as he plays for the Carolina Panthers. That's a good spot, and it's a very important spot. But secondly, let's get back to the Komodo Dragon of the room. Do not bury the lead, my man, right? See, hold on. Don't bury the lead. Carolina is in a very disadvantageous situation. They are at the mercy of Cam Newton, not just his health, right? That only tells part of the story, but as the old radio broadcaster would say, now you need the rest of the story. Cam Newton has more problems than just a bum foot. He's played like a guy who was uninterested, going through the motions the first couple games of the year, malingering on the sidelines. Now, if he's unable to play physically, he shouldn't be playing. He shouldn't have played these last two games because he was a liability for Carolina in those two games. The body language was like he had just been caught cheating in class and he had to go to detention. That's how Cam Newton looked. Like he's like, oh, what a pain. I got to be here and all this stuff. He had the slouching shoulders, the sluggish posture, looking down, all that. And if it was a blockbuster Hollywood movie, it would be Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. In this case, it would be Slouching Panther, Hidden Sourpuss would be the name of this movie for Cam Newton. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. The jokes are actually on Friday. That was a preview of Big Ben's lame jokes coming up on Friday. Send your jokes in. And I got a bunch of jokes coming in today, which is good. I love that. BenMallerShow@gmail.com. Just put jokes in the headlines. Back to the monologue. So Cam Newton, you know, slouching shoulders and just looks like he's unhappy and all that. Like he's picking lint off his clothes during the game. You know, that kind of thing. He's like, just unbecoming. Now, Cam Newton is never a shrinking violet in front of the cameras. He is the resident fashionista of the NFL. Who, if I were to say, what player is more known for dressing up in the clown costume? There's no one more than Cam Newton, right? I know Odell Beckham wears some outrageous stuff, and he's got the watches and all that. But week in and week out, Cam Newton thinks he's James Harden. Cam Newton thinks he's Russell Westbrook at these news conferences with the outfits that he wears. He's all about that action. He's all about the fashion and the style and what's in vogue, which I don't think any of this stuff's in vogue. He does show great imagination, though. It's like his own personal catwalk. The last couple of weeks, he's dressed like your grandma getting ready to go out and do some Sunday gardening in the lawn there, and he's had the scarf on and all that, and it's just absolutely great. You know that look is not hitting the mark when our former colleague Mike North said that he remembers as a little boy his mom or grandma in Chicago wearing the same outfit.
This guy's a terrorist?
Well, not saying that, but a fashion, you could say that. Now, the final thought. So this weekend, a Waterloo moment for Carolina. It's a Waterloo moment for Carolina because we're talking about a clear point of demarcation. If Carolina believes that they're going to get right back into it, and they only played a couple of games, 12.5% of the seasons are gone, but you still got almost 88% of the year to go, are they good The numbers indicate this is not a good football team. The numbers say this is a fiasco for Carolina, that people missed the mark. You say, well, this guy's hurt, that guy's hurt. Okay, still got to play. And the guy, the backups aren't very good, apparently. And now they have the double whammy. You have the indignity of an 0-2 start and a damaged Cam Newton yet again. And even if Carolina loses this game and goes to 0-3, you're not on life support as long as Kyle Allen. This guy, all he needs to do is just feed the ball to Christian McCaffrey, stay out of the way, and Carolina should win the game. They are a more talented team than the Arizona Cardinals, who have alligator arms, incomplete left, incomplete right, incomplete in the middle, Murray, at quarterback. I think that Carolina, I don't believe they're going to take smartphone breaks during team meetings or juice box breaks during practice like the Cardinals are doing. So I think they've got an advantage here. Now, if the Panthers lay down, they'll lose. If they lay down and put a Dolphin-like effort out there, they're going to lose. But if they play with a little grit, they'll be fine. They will win this game. They opened up. If you're a gambler, no one is a gambler. It's wrong to gamble. You should not be a gambler. But if you are a gambler, you know that Carolina was, before the news came out of the injury, Carolina was a sizable road favorite, considering that they were 0-2. Carolina opened up a 3 or 4 point favorite. The line is off the board in a number of the books now because of Cam Newton's injury. They're reevaluating the game. I would think, with the change at quarterback, this game is either a pick 'em or a 1 point spread either way. I would think that would be where the game's going to end up by the time we get to the weekend, but that's just spitballing what's going to happen. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show on Fox. If you want to comment about Cam Newton, and they're saying Ron Rivera, everything's going to be all right, you know, all that stuff. He was interviewed on state-run NFL radio, and I heard some of that interview during the day, and Ron Rivera was again hitting all the talking points, all the things you're supposed to say and all that about Cam Newton. I think the quote was, I think he'll be back to himself. But, you know, that's a thought. Thoughts change. Thoughts aren't right. People think things that aren't true all the time. That happens. I'm sure you know people like that. Maybe you're one of those people. You think something's going to go one way and it goes the other way, but I understand why they have to do it. But it seems like Cam Newton, his entire career, the quote, I think he'll be back to himself, has been said by just about everyone around him. You know what I mean? Like, it's everyone said, oh, I think he'll be back to himself. Okay.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
And we pass the baton over to the Koopa Loop for this edition of the Third Degree.
Ben, so Kyler Murray has thrown for over 300 yards in each of his first two starts. He's yet to come away with a win, and well, you certainly wouldn't say that he's been turning heads, but has he done better than you would expected, Ben?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I think that the first thing, Kyler Murray, the guy was the number one pick. The bar is supposed to be near the pearly gates when you're the number one pick, right? You've got to be football heaven. I haven't seen anything to indicate that I was wrong with my analysis of Kyler Murray. This guy's never going to be an all-pro quarterback. The NFL, I understand they have a vested interest in marketing him and trying to create this legend and mythology about Kyler Murray. And we pointed this out last hour. They conveniently overlook the negative stats because that doesn't help sell the story they're trying to sell. And we pointed out there's only one other quarterback since the AFL-NFL merger that's been more inaccurate as far as incompletions than Kyler Murray two starts in, but they don't talk about that. They conveniently forget about that. Now, secondly, the guy who has actually played better than Kyler Murray, and this is a referendum on Kyler Murray, is Gardner Minshew. Gardner effing Minshew of Jacksonville. He's got a higher completion percentage. The most important skill in quarterback play is accuracy. More touchdown passes, higher yards per attempt, and a much higher passer rating. Gardner Minshew. Why are we not talking about Gardner Minshew? Where are the Gardner Minshew people to talk about here? And instead, you're not asking about him. You're asking about the Oompa Loompa. All right, next.
Ben, simple question for you.
Okay, all right. Keep it simple. I like simple.
How much longer do we have to hear about Colin Kaepernick every single time a quarterback gets hurt?
Okay, so either he dies or... No, I mean, it's just... It's never going to end. I will answer this, A, for the foreseeable future. Every time a quarterback gets hurt or benched, the people suffering from Kaepernick derangement syndrome are triggered. It is paint by numbers. It is the media calls Kaepernick's agent up. Kaepernick's agent says he'd like to play. He's reached out to teams. There's no interest. Rinse, wash, repeat. Happens every time. And B, it has been, I looked it up, it's been 990 days since Colin Kaepernick played a professional football game. 990 days. And in that time, he has sued the NFL, taken hush money to go away, and now still thinks after nine, if somebody doesn't hire you, I love radio, and I'll you know, if you listen to the show, I'll probably lose this job someday. And I'd like to work in radio again if that does happen. But if I go 990 days without getting a job in radio, you know what I'm going to do? Get a job somewhere else is what I'm going to do. Okay? I'm going to see, you know, they don't want me. The industry doesn't want me. I'm going to do something else. The football industry does not want Colin Kaepernick. They don't. They're paranoid. I'll tell you exactly what's going on here. They're paranoid. He's not some victim, Kaepernick. He made a deal. He thought it was a good deal. He took the money to shut up, and so he confidential settlement, whatever that was, however big that was or however small that was. But the NFL people are paranoid that if they bring back Colin Kaepernick, it's going to open up those old wounds from 2016 where people were protesting and the fans were upset, sponsors were upset. So they believe that they should let sleeping dogs lie and let him sleep. But it's not going to end anytime soon, at least to the media part. Next.
Ben, when Randy Moss came over to the Patriots, they went on to go undefeated in the regular season. Now, after starting off the season in dominant fashion, they have just taken it to another level with Antonio Brown in the mix. Ben, how confident would you be in betting on another 16-0 season for the Patriots?
Okay, so this has been asked by some of my guys in Boston. I would not bet on 16-0. I would not do that. And I'll tell you what, the Patriots, they're not going to win every year. They will stub their toes someplace along the way. They do have a schedule that is not loaded because the division blows, but you've got to play at Baltimore. Baltimore's maybe a pretty good team. We'll see how they do in Kansas City. The Eagles, assuming they get their guys back, that game's in Philly later in the year. Cowboys also, or the Patriots rather, host the Cowboys, and they also host Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City. So they will lose at least one of those games. But other than that, it's mostly a gimme. The other games are mostly gimmies. It's show up, collect a check, eat the W, and move on. Right, move on. It's the path of least resistance for the Patriots. And the other thing here is that you figure Tom Brady, as great as he has been, at some point will have an off week. He's not going to play 16 perfect games and a couple of interceptions here and there. Defense, a couple guys don't play their best, get burned, and you end up losing a game. So I think realistically they'll go 15-1, 14-2. Something along those lines. Now, I'll tell you what, Coop, the smarter wager would be for the Dolphins going 0-16. That I would bet on. I think there's, because there's no indication those players care. The coaching staff's clearly part of this. They're in on the jig and all that. The jig isn't up. They're in on it. And so everyone's in cahoots on that. So that's one I would bet on. If you gave me some odds on the Dolphins going 0-16 and being the third 0-16 team in what, the last 12 years or something like that, or 10 years? What were the lines? 08 or 09, something like that. Anyway, all right. There it is. Maller to the third degree. How did we do?
Ben, I thought you were going to suck up to the Bostonians, but no, you didn't, so you passed.
That's right. Being a realist. Yeah. Definitely not sucking up to the Bostonians, the people, when I say that they're going to go 15-1. That's really offensive to the Patriot fan.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention, everyone. And the password is... Password. You idiot. Password, the word game of the stars. Here's Ben Maller.
And it is time for Password, brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you. And get to the game here in a minute. I did see, I got an email here from David in Pennsylvania, who's a super fan of the show. He's a Maller militia man. And he says, you know you have no life he's delivering food around Pennsylvania, and he pulled up to his next stop. He could not get out of his truck because he had to hear the food pick. Who won the food pick by myself? and I love that. That's great. That's awesome. So that's pretty cool. All right, let's welcome in our contestants for this game of Password. We have Wendell in L.A. Hello, Wendell.
Hey, greetings.
What's going on? The bus driver, right? From back in, I haven't heard from you in a while. Where you been, man?
I've been around, up, down, but still around.
All right. That's good. Very good. Hold on a sec, Wendell. You're going to play. We also have Andy in Indiana, the big voice guy, unless he's not.
Hi, Ben. How's it going?
All right, Andy. You're back in the game show mode here. I see. All right. Well,
are you about to call me a game show whore?
No, I know that you were traumatized last time. I don't want to hurt you in any way here. I know you're a delicate soul, so I will not. Well, I will refrain from doing that.
I'm less delicate because I realize if I'm a game show whore, you're a game show pimp.
Yeah. Would you rather be the pimp or the? All right. Anyway, all right. Let's play the game right now. Here we go. You guys have to match up with someone. So, Wendell, who would you like to partner up with? Me, Ben, Eddie, Roberto, or Coop Da Loop?
I'll go with Coop.
All right, Wendell and Coop. That is going to be one of the teams. Hold on a sec here. And Andy in Indiana. Andy, who would you like to partner up with?
I guess I'll go with Eddie.
All right, that'll be the matchup. We got 10 words. It's going to be a terrible game. We got 10 words here. Right, Roberto, you agree? He's shaking your head yes.
Yes, it's going to be a terrible game.
Unlistenable radio about to happen. All right, let's play the game. And a list of 10 words, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I hope you guys know how to count to 10. And who's up first? Wendell and Coop. So you have to pick a number there, Wendell.
8.
All right, Coop, number 8.
All right, Wendell, let's go with the clue I'm going to give you is shine.
Trophy.
What? What
did you say?
Trophy?
Trophy.
Oh, no.
No. That's incorrect.
All right. Andy, the clue that Coop just gave was shine. My clue to you is shoe.
Foot.
No. All right, Wendell. I think we got it here, but I'm gonna do one more clue. I'm gonna go with buff.
Oh boy!
Did you say buff?
Buff. B U F F. Buff.
Oh.
Put on everything you've heard. Put it all together.
Patent leather.
Patent leather.
Wow. That is a great guess.
No, it's only one word.
So close.
Yeah, it's only one word.
All right, back to Eddie we go. This is going about as well as I thought.
All right, Andy,
swimming upstream.
Andy, we've had shine. We've had shoe. We've had buff. How about wax?
I'm going to say polish.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. You get, what is that, 3 points, Roberto, or something?
Tres puntos.
No, it's not 3 points.
I lost seven.
7 points.
Seven. It seems like it should be less than that. Yeah. All right, Eddie, you are up next. Andy, pick a number 1 through 10, but not 8.
I'll say number 9.
Number 9. All right. Everyone's a singer on the radio.
All right, Andy, the clue is chef.
Cook.
That is correct.
Wow, look at that. 17-0.
Attaboy.
Back to Wendell. You better get this next one.
It's a massacre.
Trouble.
1 to 7 or 10. Which one do you want? What number?
2.
Number 2. All right, number 2. Go ahead, Coopaloop. You need this one or you are Dunskies.
Let's go with
la 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 la. La 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 la.
Corporation.
Company.
Yeah!
Oh,
staying alive!
It's like
a Bee Gees song. Staying alive. All right. All right, go ahead back to Andy and Eddie. Pick a number 1. Go ahead.
Number 3.
Number 3.
Number 3. All right. Andy, the word is, the clue is fable.
story.
No. All right. When opportunity's knocking, Wendell. What? Go ahead, Coop.
Let's go with.
Come on, chop chop. Hurry up!
Folklore.
Rumor.
No. That's a blow.
I'm gonna give you a chance here. Okay, hurry we've had up. Fable, story. How about legend?
Andy, five.
Epic?
What?
He said epic. No, you got one last chance, Coop. Throw
tail,
up the Hail
Mary. Tail.
Myth.
Oh, he got it!
Yes! He got it!
Tie game? Game's over.
That's a tie game.
Tie. Hey, you wanted a tie? What is this, the World Series? Today.